Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Live from Sports Column in Lodo, presented by Coors Light, it's the Fan Football Pregame. Here's Mike Evans and D-Mac.
I just got to figure out in my life how to get fired, and the people that fire me are going to pay me $10.3 million. I got to figure that out. It's a complicated situation. They have to trust you enough. You have to be good enough to get a job like that. And then you have to really let everybody down. And that is the case of Mike McIntyre today. Shocking news. Well, not shocking news. Sorry. Not shocking news. As our own Troy Rank had this story like a week and a half ago, and there wasn't a lot of support for Troy at the time, but he nailed it. He absolutely nailed it. And whether or not it was going to depend on beating Utah, I kind of doubt it. The only thing I think that mattered about yesterday was that he's gone now. He may have finished out the year, but he is gone. He is not like, you know, you're fired and you coach out the rest of the year. Like, you're gone. We're going to find somebody else on, starting tomorrow. And we'll go from there. Thank you very much. But the fact that they're willing to pay him out $10.3 million to me is amazing. Then you get the story about Gary Kubiak today. Wasn't that interesting? And thank you, Cecil, for such the kind words about mentorship and all that sort of stuff. It means so much to me to hear that, especially when I hear you say things I agree with. When I disagree with you, Cecil, then I think I've done a lousy job. But to hear Cecil talk about it is very interesting, to say the least. And I agree with Cecil. It overshadows just the factor of the game today, because one of the most important things that you have to understand is, how does information get out? How does Ian Rappaport even have a story that Gary Kubiak is willing to listen to offers to be an offensive coordinator? Where does that come from? Let's think about it a little bit. First of all, let's start with the obvious, because I asked Vance Joseph a couple years ago around this time, if Gary Kubiak was going to become more involved with the team. Why? Well, I had a little source. I had a little information. And VJ kind of, put it off, poo-pooed it. He's retired. He's in Houston. He's on the ranch, whatever. Well, I knew that wasn't completely true. And sure enough, in a short period of time, here's Gary Kubiak back as, I don't know what he was, consultant, personnel guy. But we were seeing Gary everywhere. You know, he was at, he was up at Laramie, Mike Evans, with watching Josh Allen throw footballs around. He was at every day at practice on the field. He was all over the place. So to think that Gary Kubiak was done coaching football, to me, was preposterous. Gary was willing to stick up for his coaches to a degree, but not totally submerge himself under the ice. So he was loyal to his coaches to a certain degree. But then, and that's what surprised me, because I didn't think what John Elway basically did to all of his coaches, to me, would make the situation unrepairable with him and Kubiak. I was wrong on that. Their friendship and the respect for each other sort of goes beyond those bonds, but it also probably shows you that, Gary's not done. Gary still has interests in Gary. There's a reason why I point out Gary still dyes his hair in his mid to late 50s or whatever he is. The dude is not done. And so this today, to me, is a power move to say, I want back in, and I may be doing it with John Harbaugh.
Oh, I think they easily could be a package deal. How about this? John Harbaugh, Gary Kubiak, and Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Why not? Because you got to figure that if the Packers miss the playoffs, McCarthy's going to be out.
Yeah.
And so if you're a Packers team that still has Aaron Rodgers in his prime, you need a coach that you believe can come in and win a Super Bowl right away. Who's done that? John Harbaugh's done that.
Can I tell you who needs to think of that scenario a lot? Because that is a very good scenario. ideal for basically everybody. The person that needs to think about that one quite a bit is Joe Ellis. Because if you envision some sort of future with Gary Kubiak and John Harbaugh, you better get your head around the fact that the time is here and the time is now.
But what do you got to offer them?
This is what you could do. You kick John Elway upstairs. Gary Kubiak's your general manager. John Harbaugh is your head coach. And you have a layer between John Harbaugh and John Elway, and that layer is Gary Kubiak. I do believe veteran coaches will have a hard time coming here, Mike, seeing what goes on in terms of how John Elway is handling
things. John has no say in football matters.
John would be Dan Marino. John
just
would,
the figurehead.
Kind of. I mean, he can oversee the personnel process. He can oversee the draft. You know, those sort.
But Gary has the last say.
But Gary would have the last say, and John becomes football emeritus.
But you're still looking at what do the Broncos have to offer a John Harbaugh? And if I'm John Harbaugh, and I'm going to be probably the most sought-after candidate out there, why Denver? Why
Denver? You got to make it appealing.
Why Denver and Case Keenum?
Money. You're getting a new quarterback. I mean, that goes without saying.
But again,
But
you do understand.
I got gotcha.
If Green Bay comes calling.
I got gotcha. You.
It's a sensing. Short. It's a short conversation.
I got gotcha. You. But then there's also, well, what is that Green Bay offer? Are we talking about a 4-year deal? Or if we're talking about a deal with Denver and we can start from scratch and it's a 10-year deal? I mean, when you go a little bit deeper than Aaron Rodgers, what else exactly is there in Green Bay?
Well, if I'm a John Harbaugh, I'm starting to think about my potential Hall of Fame legacy. I've got one Super Bowl, and if I want to cement a Hall of Fame legacy, I got to get another one.
Mike, I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying if that's what you want, you got to start thinking like that.
I hear you, D-Mac. I just think that it's like after the draft last year, it was like, after the Super Bowl, when we saw Kirk Cousins, go get Kirk Cousins. Well, it takes two to tango. You know, you gotta have that reciprocal interest on the other side. Kirk Cousins was never interested in the Broncos because in his mind, it just wasn't attractive enough. So you could say all you want, we want Harbaugh, but you got to make it attractive to him. And I just don't see how a veteran coach coming here, knowing that under John Elway, they've cycled through a few coaches, they've cycled through quarterbacks, they don't have a clear-cut plan at quarterback, they've come off a string.
You're saying it's a mess.
Oh, I've been saying it's a mess for months.
All right, well, we'll dig deeper into it.
Of course it's a mess.
And it's a power move by the Kubiak camp. It may be connected with Harbaugh, might not be such a coincidence. Gary's obviously ready to get back into the mix. If not, he would have simply said, nope, I'm happy with what I'm doing. So he has put it out there that he wants to get back into the mix.
And I think, and we could talk about coming up, you got to go back to the relationship between Harbaugh and Kubiak in the first place and why it was so hard for him to leave.
All right, so plenty of time to talk about it. Lots of juicy news to hash up aside from the game itself. But for our first preview of what's ahead of us with the Broncos and the soccer stadium in Carson, California, here's Mark Schlereth.
Here's Mark Schlereth with his biggest observation for today's game. It's exclamation mark. Powered by Piper Electric, your hometown electrician.
All right, I think there's a couple things that just jump out at me as the Broncos get ready to take on the Chargers. One, you've got to be able to defend Melvin Gordon. On the edge. You look at the Chargers run game, it's all off the edge. There's a lot of pin, there's a lot of crackback blocks, there's a lot from the receivers and the tight ends. So when that happens, you've got to be able to replace. When a receiver motions down and cracks the defensive end, the safety has to replace or the corner has to replace. You have got to set a firm edge because they are going to pitch, they are going to toss, and they're going to run a downhill outside the tight end run game. It's unique because they're one of the only teams that what they do the most. Like, that's where they live the majority of the time. So that edge run, that's going to come down to safeties, that's going to come down to cornerbacks. And remember, the Broncos had a serious issue defending that against the Jets earlier in the season. So that's going to be imperative that they're able to do those things. So that's the number one thing they're going to have to defend. Number two, Keenan Allen. He is one of the most underrated, probably underpublicized receivers in football. He does the dirty work. He does the crossing routes. He does the middle of the field routes. He's good versus man and zone. Great release guy. Great at the top of his route. That's going to be a challenge for anybody that draws the assignment to cover Keenan Allen. On the other side of the ball, I know we've talked about starting faster. I know we've talked about scoring more points. The bottom line is this. You've got to be able for your playmakers to make plays. I think diversity is key. Spreading the ball around to multiple people. Get your fullback involved. Keep your tight ends involved. Make the defense defend more than Philip Lindsay and defend more than Emmanuel Sanders. Make them defend the entirety of your roster, the entirety of the football field. If you do those things as you travel out to Carson, California, you could have a chance to come away with a victory when you get your cleats on the grass.
Exclamation mark is powered by Piper Electric, your hometown electrician.
Well, thank you, Mark. We're trying to stay optimistic. We'll, you know, take it as optimistic as we can. We know Joey Bosa, though, Mike, is playing today. And we know the Broncos' offensive line is banged up beyond recognition. But, hey, what's wrong with tackles playing guards, you know? Who needed Quentin Nelson? That's fine.
You certainly don't take him in the top five.
I know Gary Kubiak liked him. I know that was his guy.
And I don't have a problem with Chubb either, but I thought it was always funny. You can't take a guard in the top five, but you can take him at six, and he could be maybe the best rookie in the class.
To do that, though, like, Will Hernandez is doing great, and you could have got Will Hernandez in the 20s. And had the Broncos traded back for 12 and 22 with Buffalo, you could have got, like, Derwin James and Will Hernandez. I mean, there's all sorts of things.
Or you could have got your quarterback.
You could have got your quarterback. How's Kyle Aletta doing today? Is he playing?
Just learning. He's learning like Aaron Rodgers learned.
Oh, gotcha. Lamar Jackson starting today. We got to get that. We're at the sports.
I think he's run about like 50 times already.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Pass.
It's the new age of the quarterback, Mike.
He'll stay alive for about 3 weeks.
All right, we're here at Sports Column. We're fired up for the Broncos. There's a million games going on all over the place. And we'll get back to the big news of the day. Mike McIntyre has been fired. Troy Rank will join us. He broke that news a few days ago. And fired. And I don't know if there's going to be a...
They're going to have a meeting tomorrow. They'll announce an interim coach to coach the last game.
But I like the college hour-long I've just been fired press conference. That's one of my favorite press. I don't know if they're going to do that.
A McIntyre talks?
That would be amazing. Can I point out something ironic about McIntyre? Just real quick. A couple days ago, he gave his big press conference and held a picture of a buffalo. And he made a speech about how buffaloes walk into the storm. Do you realize the weather was so bad that Ralphie did not run before the game? Think about that for a second.
Sign of the times.
All right. It's the Fan Football Pregame Show, live from Sports Column on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Live from Sports Column in Lodo, presented by Coors Light. It's the Fan Football Pregame. Here's Mike Evans and T-Mac.
All right, we're live here at Sports Column. I love, you know, when we're on, Mike, and all the games are on, too. It's always pretty exciting as we pick up on things. Just to look ahead a little bit, the Broncos play the Bengals in a couple weeks, and they are losing right now to the Ravens 10-7. Lamar Jackson starting in that particular game. Pittsburgh is losing to Jacksonville 9-0. The Broncos host the Steelers next week.
At one point, Jacksonville's first 22 plays, 20 were runs. Hey, run the football, right?
That screams who we're going to draft.
Right.
And so today with the Broncos and the Chargers, Mike, your most significant moments of the week here with the Broncos are what?
Well, the offensive line is just, it's a mess. And, you know, here's an offensive line that is a below-average offensive line, even when everybody is healthy. And now you add in these injuries. I think what it speaks to is that as good as their draft appears to be on paper from last year, there was, and we were all on at different points during the course of the draft, and every time they would make a draft pick, we'd be like, all right, what are they going to do with the next pick? You know, and we'd project what position they might go after. And for a time there, through rounds 2, 3, 4, we were always like, all right, now that might be a good time to take an offensive lineman. They didn't take an offensive lineman until Sam Jones in the, what, sixth round?
Yeah.
That was it. That was the extent of their O-line drafting and developing. And they've been very poor when it comes to identifying free agents. Ronald Leary was the one that looked to be the best, but we all know what's happened there. Other than that, it's been a lot of swings and misses
for
most
part. I heard Cecil go on and on, and I love Cecil, and he loves us apparently. And I heard him go on and on and on and on about how great the draft was. And I still am not kind of falling for this yet.
No, I agree with you. I know where you're going.
Why was the draft great?
I know you're going.
Because you got three starters?
I know
everybody
you're going.
Gets three starters.
I think it's because, whereas in past drafts, you looked at guys and you just didn't see it, you know? At least with these guys, you could see the potential. Now, as far as the impact, you know, on this season, it hasn't been like Saints-like, you know, what the Saints got from their rookies last year. But at least you've seen enough from those rookies to think, yeah, there's something there. Would I call it a home run? No, because I don't think you could call a class a great class until it's...
Has the bar just been set so
low? Yes,
That's why
yes.
we're just going crazy
yes.
with how great we think it is?
Yes. Exactly.
I mean, you know, look at the Cleveland Browns draft. I mean, they got like five starters out of that draft. You know, I mean, look, what team in the top 10 did not get two or three starters out of their draft?
Yeah.
And by the way, Philip Lindsay, the truth of Philip Lindsay, we got lucky. He was a free agent. They offered him $15,000, which is okay for a signing bonus for a free agent. And he chose the Broncos, Mike. He had several offers from other teams. We got lucky. You cannot throw Philip Lindsay into your, you know, wasn't that a great draft sort of thing.
But they didn't draft offensive linemen.
No.
That has to be a focus this year. Has to be. I mean, they have to draft better offensive linemen. They have to develop offensive. Just trying to simply plug and play and, you know, get Menelik Watson here and Donald Stevenson there
right.
and Jared Valdir here. I mean, you know, enough's enough. You know, let's become a program that can draft and develop offensive linemen, because as much as we talk about the quarterback here, you know, the offensive line is not good, folks. It's not good. And if you think any quarterback's going to come in here and look appreciably better behind this offensive line, they're not.
So I was watching. It was such a shame, by the way, because of, I guess, weather reasons, they canceled the Notre Dame-Syracuse game. I thought for sure they would hold that at Yankees, but I guess they decided not to have that game. So what a shame. But I'm watching as I'm a big Sun Devils guy, so I'm watching ASU-Oregon last night. Now, I'm going to say I was probably one of the only ones, as that was Pac-12 after dark, Mike. The game wrapped up around midnight or so. So not a great game, though, if you did stay up for it. The Sun Devils came a two-point conversion away from tying it. And if you really watch that game closely, okay, there were a couple of drop passes. But this Herbert guy out of Oregon, dude, this guy ain't all that. And if he's the number one guy, really? I mean, he did nothing in the second half of that game, and that was a huge game for them. Nothing. And it was missed passes after incompletions after just absolutely nothingness.
I think we better wrap our mind around the idea Case Keenum could be the quarterback again next year.
I think that's clearly going to be the case, but my mind is going to, I know you really should draft a quarterback next year, but I really don't know who that guy would be, what kind of investment you want to make in him. And if this is really that year, I think it will be, because I think the pressure for Elway, because inevitably Vance Joseph will be fired and there'll be pressure, and they're not going to extend Case Keenum. Like he's done. Like this is it. We've seen Case Keenum, even though he could start next year. I just don't, do you see them offering Case Keenum a contract extension at the end of the year?
No, of course not. But also keep in mind, you said Herbert didn't look that great. Well, remember, I think these guys, when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks, it is all about the measurables. They're not so much worried. Look, Josh Allen wasn't much of a quarterback in college that would make you say, you know, scream first overall pick, which many people thought he could be. Josh Rosen had a very, you know, up and down career at UCLA. You know, Sam Darnold had led the nation in turnovers last year. So, you know, other than Mayfield, who was outstanding in college, a lot of these guys didn't just jump out at you with what they did on the field in college. Didn't stop them from being high first-round picks.
Troy Rank crushed the story about Mike McIntyre well before everybody else. We'll talk to him in a little bit. But first, what to watch for today, we check in with Pritch and Cecil.
It's Pritchard and Cecil's What to Watch For, presented by Golden Oak Lending.
Really, what I'm going to be watching for, Pritch, is this offensive line. With the shuffling, with the Max Garcia injury, how does Billy Turner do a left guard? What about Elijah Wilkinson at right guard? And Connor McGovern at center. Can he handle what the Chargers are going to bring up front with guys like Corey Legit, Brandon Mebane inside? The interior play of this offensive line is what I'm watching for in today's contest. How about you, Pritch?
Well, the offensive line, makeshift offensive line at this point, when you look at it, all the injuries, the matchup doesn't favor the Broncos. But why would the Broncos want to match up one-on-one with that defensive front? I got to find ways, if I'm Bill Musgrave, to create double teams and also create advantages. And so certainly the tight end position, I got to lean on Heuerman. I got to lean on Lacoste. I'm going to look at those guys. They're depleted at linebacker. Perryman's down. I want to work the tight ends on the passing game. I want to work and move the linebackers with play action. And so I can help out my offensive line with my personnel, in particular the tight end position. So I think that's going to be a big key in this matchup against the Chargers.
Pritchard and Cecil's What to Watch For is presented by Golden Oak Lending. Whether you're buying or refinancing, Golden Oak Lending can help. Call today, 720-500-GOLD.
Broncos West is in Carson, California, where Troy Rank will join us as the Broncos take on the Chargers in what probably will be a home game, live from California next.
Now let's get the scoop from Denver 7 Broncos insider Troy Rank.
All right, so let's go out to our guy, Troy Rank.
The scoop man.
Troy, way to go, pal.
The newsbreaker.
You crushed it. You got it. Mike McIntyre, as you reported accurately, was dismissed earlier this morning. In fact, they're having a press conference as we speak to explain all of it. It's Troy Rank, Denver 7 Broncos insider, but overall sports guru, presented by Tranny Law. What's your reaction to the news about McIntyre? Why don't we just start there?
Yeah, you know, I take no pleasure when someone loses their job. I mean, I'm just following the story. I trusted my sources because I was told that he would be gone regardless of the outcome of the last two games. The only thing that changed is it was so embarrassingly bad yesterday, following a week where McIntyre's posture at his press conference and then his post-game press conference, it just made the situation untenable. They wanted him to finish it out and then fire him, even if he had won the last two games. He wasn't coming back, based on every source I talked to. So he deserves credit for getting them back, kind of gaining traction. But the last 2 years, 5-7 missed a bowl. This year, they're staring at a possible 5-7 again, D-Mac. And they're 0-9 the past 2 years when they've had a chance to qualify for a bowl game. It's just business. It's time to move on. That's all. And this move was never dependent on them getting Les Miles. Miles was way down the road with Kansas. Stuff I knew, I just wasn't reporting at that point. But they didn't need to have Les Miles. They've had their eye on a couple other people. So we'll see where that goes. I don't know yet. But it was time to move on, and that's what happened today.
What do you think the profile of the next coach will be?
I think their preference would be a little bit younger. I mean, Miles is 65, and no doubt it would have been a huge bump initially. But, you know, Les Miles, in terms of the way college game is going and the air raid and the offenses, that's not Les Miles' strength. It's strength recruiting and defense. So I would just think they're going to be, you know, the hot names, the younger names, and see where that takes them. I don't know all that because I'm trying to cover the Broncos a little bit too. So, but I do think they would like someone that's going to be in place for a bit, that's a little, you know, a young, hot name that can try. Because let's be honest, it's been ugly offensively. As much as Severini had it going a couple of years ago, they've been outscored 82-10 in the second half of their last three home games. I mean, they've got to get it right offensively.
Moving on to the Broncos, what's behind the Gary Kubiak story today?
Yeah, I mean, does it surprise me that he would consider an OC job? D-Mac, it doesn't. He loves coaching, and everyone's like, well, his health. Again, if you're the offensive coordinator, you don't deal with the media. You don't deal with radio. You don't have a radio deal, a TV deal. You have to be at every function. It's a different stress because it's just football. It's not all the other stuff. So would he entertain it? I absolutely believe he would. So people are like, well, why wouldn't he stay here? Well, we don't know who the head coach is going to be, frankly. Now, if John Harbaugh were that, could that be a connection? Maybe. He worked for John Harbaugh as his quarterback coach, and clearly they have a good relationship, but I think that's getting a little ahead of the game right now. But again, it does not surprise me, D-Mac, but it would certainly be a loss if he moves on, because his voice in the room is always a trusted one, and he did work in this last draft.
So could this somehow spur the Broncos into action, the idea that they could lose Gary Kubiak? Is there a way, an offer that they can make to make him want to stay? What is that offer? What's that job?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that yet, because it would depend on how badly does he want to coach. Mike, it's hard to tell him you're going to be a coach with us when you don't – if there's uncertainty with their coaching position, obviously. I mean, there's no way around that. There's no way around the fact there's just uncertainty right now. And if they bring in a new coach, you're not going to bring in a new coach and already tell him who his offensive coordinator is. They kind of tried that with McCoy and Joseph. That's never a great idea, typically. So is there an offer? I don't know that. His relationship's still good here. Don't misunderstand any of that. It's just if Gary decides he wants to be an OC, he may decide to do that before they have an opportunity to get clarity on their own coaching situation.
Set the scene for us in the soccer stadium today.
Hot. 75. I know that's what you don't want to hear back home, where it's, 20 degrees probably, or I guess it's warming up today. But there's still plenty of orange. I don't see it like I did last year when there was a little more hope at that point in the season than there really is right now. But it's 28,000. It's going to be loud. Their sound system is made for about 175,000-seat stadium. So they got that going for them. But it's a cool environment, but it's just different. It's like covering a small college. 28,000. I think some high school stadiums in the South might be this big.
But all right, Troy.
They got to find a way to compete.
Yeah, last one for you, Troy. Just how do you see this offensive line being able to compete, being able to hold up? Does it seem almost hopeless to you, or what? Give us reason to believe.
Not hopeless, because there's talent. Because when they've had bad offensive lines in the past, there was a talent issue with Watson and Donald Stevens. I mean, there was some issues with talent, clearly. In this case, Billy Turner's really talented, and sometimes his versatility works against him. Elijah Wilkins is the one I'm worried about at guard. If it got ugly early, Mike, they could move McGovern to guard and bring in Gino Kurkowski to snap and play center, because Wilkins is actually the position I'd be most worried about if I'm a fan and watching. But there is talent there. It's just how do you coalesce? How do you microwave it in a week? Because they weren't expecting Garcia to be down. Obviously, they were preparing without Paredes. But, again, there's talent there. This defense they're facing isn't the one to kind of figure it out again.
All right, Troy, what's your prediction?
I have the Broncos competing but losing 29-22.
Thank you, Troy Rank. Good job this weekend. We appreciate your time. Right on. Halftime, the Ravens over the Bengals 13-7. Lions lead the Panthers 10-7. Colts working up on the Titans.
Indy's coming on.
The Titans, what happened? Titans just beat the Patriots 24-3. Indy is coming on. Falcons all tied up with the Cowboys at 6. 14-7. Giants over the Buccaneers. Giants, don't you realize what you're playing for? The Texans.
Odell says they're going to win out.
Okay, well, super. Texans over the Redskins 17-7, and the Jags over the Steelers. And that's an interesting one, 9-0. So, in the world of any given Sunday, Mike, you're seeing another example of it today.
Is that perfect? That's a great way to describe it. You've got Tennessee that really looked good last week, but Andrew Luck, I believe, is 9-0 against Tennessee, and so he's just their daddy.
But this is why Vance Joseph needs to have a moment, because these moments actually
can happen
all the time in the NFL.
I mean, look at Jacksonville. Jacksonville's a team that just seems to be, you know, falling apart. They a lot of backbiting. They hate their quarterback. You know, the Steelers just looked unbelievable last Thursday and put up 52 against Carolina.
Right.
And now they're being completely, completely shut down.
Crazy.
So you're right. It's a week-to-week league.
Okay. Broncos, if ever, now's your turn. If not, at 3-7, Mike, listen, I think Vance Joseph is gone no matter what, to be honest with you. But at 3-7, I think the conversation starts about at what point will you actually dismiss him.
Yeah, but when you start talking about the candidates that could be out there to replace him, once you get past John Harbaugh and Mike McCarthy, does anybody really, you know, who's the hot assistant that, you know, Josh McDaniels?
Well, the rumor is McDaniels is rumored to be going to Green Bay. It's a joke anyways. We would never hire Josh McDaniels.
Right, but so, you know, I mean, Chuck Pagano, Jim Caldwell. I mean, who are these? Who are these coaches that you think are so attractive that you get rid of your head coach and probably your whole coaching staff and start all over again?
Well, if you blow out,
that's gonna be so much better.
If you blow out Vance Joseph, most likely you got to go with the anti-Vance Joseph. So you've got to go with an experienced coach. I mean, that's certainly what they did with McDaniels
right. And
John Fox.
Right.
The real question is, at what point does Joe Ellis sort of insert himself in this process and change the culture of the entire team? That is actually kind of a bigger question, Mike. Will John Elway be allowed to make this decision? Or will Joe Ellis step in as the owner of the Denver Broncos and say, enough. This is how we're going to change things.
Joe Ellis is going to be the guy that fires John Elway.
Not fire. You don't have to fire him.
Bump him upstairs?
That's right. Or not. I don't know. Because who would John Elway hire? You know, who would John Elway stay loyal to? You know, his track record right now is, I mean, if you're an FOJ, friend of John, you know, you get to stick around. And if not, you're gone for whatever reason. So look at who John's been loyal to over the years. It's and look at what type of coach he wanted to have run the team now after Gary Kubiak. It makes sense that if you bring in a John Harbaugh or Mike McCarthy, a more seasoned coach, they're going to want a little bit more control. Now, Foxy was interested because Foxy didn't want more control.
Foxy just wanted to coach.
He just wanted to run the ship. And he was fine just kind of giving everything else over to
Fox,
everybody else.
Fox was perfect for where they were at that point, remember. Now, they were coming off the chaos of Josh McDaniels. They needed stability. They needed somebody that was the adult in the room. And Fox was perfect for that. And now, did he show that he was the kind of coach to win you a Super Bowl? No. But we're a long way away from a Super Bowl. So coming off, if you believe Vance Joseph is going to be fired, then it'll be a two-year chaotic roller coaster type run that we just came off of. So you need a Fox type. That's what you need.
They just don't grow on trees. You know, experienced guys that just don't want to have all that much control and are all right with things.
I mean, you can find some guys. You can find, like I said, you can find your Chuck Paganos, your Jim Caldwells. No, Todd Haley, thank you.
Hugh Jackson.
Maybe Jim Schwartz is ready to be a head coach again. Mm. You know, somebody like that. But is that going to get Broncos country excited?
No, absolutely not. John Harbaugh would, though.
Oh, yeah, Harbaugh would. I would love to have John Harbaugh. I've always respected John Harbaugh as a coach. But I just don't. If you know that there are going to be 6 to 7 firings, as there typically are every year in the NFL, the Monday after the season ends.
Yeah.
And if John Harbaugh is one of those coaches going to be fired, he's going to be the number one candidate out there for every opening.
But let me ask you another kind of obvious question, though. At 4-5, and with using Lamar Jackson to, right now, they're leading the Cincinnati Bengals as they kick it off into the second half. Explain to me again why you're going to fire John Harbaugh.
It's just...
What if they go on a run here?
That would only fall under the category of it's just gotten stale. That, hey, there's nothing wrong with you. You need a change of scenery. We need a change of scenery. Let's part ways. But let's also keep this in mind when we talk about John Harbaugh, how much we'd like to have John Harbaugh. Since the ball flew over Raheem Moore's head, sorry to bring up a painful memory, since the ball went over Raheem Moore's head and the Ravens used that to catapult themselves to a Super Bowl championship, since then, Jim Harbaugh's a 44-45 coach.
Who's playing? Who's not playing? The inactives. We'll tell you what they are. Also, we'll hear from Sandy Clough. He breaks it down by the numbers. We are live at Sports Column, where you can register to win $200 to Uber, a free shuttle to Mile High, starting 2 hours prior to every home game is here, and a great spot for fans of the Broncos and the Iowa Hawkeyes, right at 20th and Blake, Sports Column in Lower Downtown, with all the games going on here, and a great spot for you to watch today's Chargers-Broncos game. This is the Fan Football Pregame Show.
Live from Sports Column in Lodo, presented by Coors Light. It's the Fan Football Pregame. Here's Mike Evans and D-Mac.
Okay, here we go with the inactives today. Guard center Nico Fala. Did you know a guy named Nico Fala was on the team, Mike?
Nope. Not going to lie to you.
Well, he's not playing today. Max Garcia. Alexander Johnson. He got a chance to play, and now he's back to the bench. Brandon Marshall, DeMonte Thomas, Shamarco Thomas, and DeMarcus Walker. Dude, man. DeMarcus Walker.
Second round pick.
Dang, man. Just play in case of emergency, I guess. That's it.
Cecil made a really good point today when I was listening to his show.
Crazy.
So if we feel good at least about the potential of this rookie class.
And no wonder everybody thinks the draft is so amazing because we're looking at DeMarcus Walker.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. You do it through the prism of how bad the previous three or four drafts were. And so this one stands out only because, A, it was such a stark shift in philosophy, and it looks like some of these guys can play. But you understand that they have to now take this draft and add at least two more like this draft,
yeah,
really to get back to where you need to be. When you have a string of empty drafts like the one the Broncos had, it sets you back. I mean, it really does set you back, and it's not something that you just fix in one draft class. You gotta put together two or three of them.
Mike, let me just ask you straight up. Should Joe Ellis move John Elway to more of a Dan Marino type of role, elevate Gary Kubiak, general manager, and go hard after John Harbaugh?
Tell me, I'm going to answer your question with a question. Tell me, how involved was Gary Kubiak in shifting the draft philosophy this year?
I really don't know. I couldn't tell you. I think he was another voice in the room, but I really don't know. You know, John Elway called Matt Russell his right-hand man. I think if you're going to do anything, you've got to move on from Matt Russell. I think that is as clear as the nose of my face.
Yeah, you look at that front office and the guys that are in that front office, they've all been here for 7-8 years.
I don't think John can just simply dismiss Vance Joseph and just not hold his own house non-accountable. I mean, unless you really, truly believe you've given VJ all the tools and he's just screwing it up. I think it's a combination of VJ's not a great coach, and he hasn't been given a lot of stuff. Both of those things can be true at the same time.
Yeah, you can be true. And look, if it was up to me, I would start all over. I'd start all over in the front office. I'd have...
What does that look like specifically?
John Elway either is out entirely or he gets bumped up to some presidential advisory role, but there is a new football head of operations that is brought in to run this team, hire this coach, draft this new quarterback, all this stuff.
Yeah. There's a John Dorsey.
But I also get the idea that it is John Elway. He's tough to fire. He did so much good in the first part of his career as general manager, that do you want to just dismiss that? Do you give him the benefit of the doubt that he can turn this thing around?
I don't think you can fire him.
I don't think you can fire him.
But you can
shake up the
promotion emotion.
You can shake up the people that are around him, though.
Yes.
You can stop with the Matt Russell. Stop with guys that have been there all this time. Bring in some new blood. Bring in some fresh faces.
So would you like to see Gary Kubiak move on?
Oh, I like Gary. No, I like Gary.
Okay.
I would love to keep Gary.
He's not exactly
I'd like to keep. Well, he is in terms of just this past year.
Oh.
That's what I recognize. He hasn't been around here in a GM-type personnel role for 5, 6, 7 years. He's been here for 1 year, and the early returns are pretty good. So I'd love to keep him here. But I think Gary wants to. I don't think Gary wants to be a front office man. I think he still likes to coach.
We will go
as an offensive coordinator, not as a head coach.
I think we're fixing to find out. Because the report by Ian Rappaport puts it out there that future coaching candidates have Gary in mind for an offensive coordinator, and the Broncos wouldn't stand in the way. Now, perhaps they wouldn't stand in the way if Gary was the offensive coordinator for the Broncos and John Harbaugh was the coach.
But understand, remember when Gary was the offensive coordinator with John Harbaugh and Joe Flacco had the best year he had ever had in his career. Gary did not want to leave. He was very, very happy as the offensive coordinator, but John reached out to him and said, I need you. I need you. And he wouldn't take no for an answer. Gary said no the first couple times to be the next coach of the Denver Broncos. He said no.
Yeah.
John kept after him. He really played on the relationship. He played on the friendship. And eventually he got Gary to come here, and the rest is history. But the idea of Gary going back and being an offensive coordinator, his most recent memories of being an OC were very, very good. So I could see why he'd want to get back to doing that.
We'll go behind enemy lines with Eric Williams from Los Angeles. He's a Chargers reporter. That must be an interesting beat. We'll get to that in just a little bit, but let's break it down by the numbers with Sandy Clough.
Now let's hear from the great Sandy Clough with Sandy's stats of the game.
How things have changed between the Denver Broncos and Los Angeles Chargers who meet later today, simply across the last 3 years. Remember the good old days when the Broncos were beating every AFC West opponent, especially on the road. In 2011, they went 3-for-3. Same thing in 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015. In fact, for those 5 years, they won 15 straight divisional road games. They were invincible. Most of those wins, if not all of them, came by very convincing margins. And now, all of a sudden, the Broncos have lost 7 straight divisional games on the road, including a shutout loss to the Chargers last year at the StubHub Center that represented their first shutout in about a quarter century. And they are more than a touchdown underdog today. The Broncos have not won under Vance Joseph a single Sunday afternoon road game. The only 2 road wins have come on Thursday nights, last December in Indianapolis and last month in Phoenix, Arizona against the Cardinals. And yet, when you look at these 2 teams, apart from the difference between Phillip Rivers and Case Keenum at quarterback, which is considerable, they're really not all that far apart. In the advanced metric that Football Outsiders use, defense-adjusted value over average, the Broncos are actually the 9th-rated team in the 32-team National Football League. The Chargers are number 3, but the Broncos are right there at 9, ahead of the Packers, ahead of the Patriots, ahead of the Panthers, ahead of the first-place Houston Texans in the AFC South. Today should be a competitive game, but I doubt that it will be. The Broncos are facing a quarterback at age 36 who's played now for 15 years and is having his best year in year 15. Somewhat reminiscent of another quarterback that we may remember here in Denver who had never won a championship, though he had been to Super Bowls before, and reached his 15th year, and not only won a Super Bowl that year, but won another one the next year, his 16th year in the league. I don't know if a Super Bowl victory awaits Phillip Rivers or even a Super Bowl appearance, but I know the Chargers are going to win today. Los Angeles 31, Denver 10.
Whoa! Wow!
Yikes!
Oh my gosh!
From the top rope, Sandy Clough.
Dang! Okay, well, we'll go out to Los Angeles. We'll go behind enemy lines with Eric Williams, who works for ESPN Los Angeles. Wow, a blowout? We'll look at it from the Los Angeles side next.